Welcome to All the Therapies.
We're two clinicians who try out different therapeutic practices
so you can find the right type of healing for you.
I'm Abby Crum.
I'm Mona E. Shaker.
And if you're enjoying this podcast, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Thanks for joining us. Let's jump in now.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. So today we are going to be talking about your experience with REBT, and I had to write it down because I'm familiar with CBT. There's a lot of letters in there. Ribbit, REBT.
It does make me think of ribbit.
Before we jump in, I want to ask you, what are you curious about this week?
Okay, so I tried to be better this week, and I wrote down notes to myself about what I was curious. And I just looked at my notes, and it just says the words ironic participation, and I have no idea what that means. It sounds really interesting. I really, if anyone listening knows what I'm referring to, I would love to know more. But there was something that, like, someone was talking about ironic parts. I found it really fascinating. It was something, I don't know, a video, a YouTube, a movie, I don't know. But I wrote it down thinking, of course, I'll remember it. I didn't. I just Googled it. And it said, did you mean ionic precipitation?
No.
Which is not what I mean. And I'm not really curious at all about ionic precipitation, if I'm honest. But so I am very curious about ironic participation, but I have no idea why. So that's where I'm at.
And that's piquing my curiosity too, because what an interesting concept. You know, that reminds me of that episode of Seinfeld where Jerry has a really funny joke in the middle of the night and he scribbles it down, but he cannot read it.
Totally. I'm there all the time.
Yeah. What am I curious about this week?
Yes.
I would say, so I'm watching the reality show, The Circle on Netflix. So this, I'm on season two. We just started. Every time I watch a reality show, I'm just really curious about the mechanics behind it.
Yes.
So like, who's that person? Like when they're talking out loud with the hashtags, that, like who's typing frantically to like put that in the,
message? I've totally thought about that. Who is the production assistant who has to like do that with an emoji? Yeah.
How do you find the emoji that quickly? It takes me hours when it's like, respond with an emoji. And I'm like, I don't, what order does it come in? Or like someone was like, it's all that. Circle, capitalize all that. I'm like, it's just like the speed at which they probably have to, you know, in their resume when they're applying for that job, have to put their, you know, word typing speed up there.
Yeah, because if you don't know, on the show, it's like everyone communicates through social media, but it's clearly not real social media. It's not like an iPhone. It is like made up. It's like they all have basically cardboard TVs. And, you know, I mean, obviously it's not real, but I mean, that's like essentially as close as what it is. And they like have this like pretend social media conversation, although it's real. I don't know. It's just, there's no way they could possibly do that with a real media system.
Exactly. Like it looks seamless with the editing. It looks like there's some sort of like high technology AI happening, but I think we're not quite there yet. So there's definitely some interns or a PA back there.
Totally. Wedding, I think about that all the time.
Anyways, well, I'm really excited to hear about REBT. Do you want to start with like just telling us what the heck that is?
Yeah, that would be a good thing to be able to tell you. The truth is I just know the acronym. If you want to Google it while I'm talking what those letters stand for, because in the same way, I do know what CBT stands for, cognitive behavioral therapy.
Like, I found it.
Oh, okay. What does it stand for?
Rational Emotive Behavior Therapy.
Okay. Just came back. Yeah. So this is, in my understanding, and when we talk to Cassandra, who's going to be the therapist, she will be able to explain more because this is what she does. But I know it's a precursor to CBT. So people are probably really familiar with CBT. And I believe like REBT was kind of, you know, so it operates in a similar fashion, but I think it's a little bit more structured. And I'm pretty sure it's connected to Albert Ellis, who was one of the forefathers of CBT. So for those of you who don't know, a lot of people know CBT because it's kind of recommended for anything. I don't, like, whenever I Google something, it's like CBT might be good for this. Like, even if it's a medical condition, it's just like, might try CBT therapy. It's always like an option.
Do you know what I think that is? I was thinking about that recently because I was looking at treatment for addiction and CBT was there again. And I was thinking, because I think in the medical field in the US, we're so insurance-based and CBT is so analytical because it's like you could do a rating system. What's your anxiety level from 1 to 10 today and tomorrow? And you could actually like rate that and put it on like a scale. Totally. And actually, you could actually measure growth. Whereas I think other types of psychology could be more like intuitive or like, you know, heart-based or whatever. Anyways, that's just my theory, but yeah.
I 100% think that's what it is. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff around that CBT is evidence-based. And it's just like, well, I have questions about that. Not that CBT doesn't work. I absolutely think it does. But I don't think that other therapies are not evidence-based. I just think it's not the way that we would typically think. So it is easier to, you know, on a medical model, make it evidence-based. But we could get into that for a while. So anyways, REBT, when we think about this, and I'm often talking to clients about this, there's the rational side of our brain, the emotional side. So oftentimes, you know, because clients are quick to say like, I know that this is like bad for me or whatever, but I still do it, right? And I'm like, the rational part of you, I know you get it. I know you're already there intellectually. Emotionally, it sounds like there's more going on, right? So, I mean, that's a pretty typical way to kind of frame things. So I think this rational emotive is really about getting to what is the belief and what is the emotion like attached to the belief. And when we were talking through the session, yeah, it's pretty structured. So, you know, I came in with a specific issue, which for me was my ambivalence about social media. You know, this is an ongoing thing, you know, everybody's on social media. It does feel like it's something you have to do. I think that's the belief I was working with. Do you have to be on social media? Intellectually, I tell myself you do not have to. Emotionally, I believe you have to. So I'm getting into the session. So essentially what I got to and what I found really helpful is Cassandra was asking me questions that really got to like, why? You know, like, why do you think that? What is that belief? And it was really helpful because as you might be able to tell, as I've been on, well, both of us have been on like 10 tangents already, I can go off on a tangent so easily, like in therapy. And therapy is, I do like when you're kind of allowed and just whatever comes up, comes up. But one of the things about these cognitive therapies like REBT is let's come back to the belief.
Structure.
We're not going to go on a tangent, you know, which is kind of, I need sometimes that containment. And so I think it really helped me get somewhere in the session. So yeah, essentially I came in, we did do a virtual session, but I could see a really lovely office behind Cassandra and she had me kind of just describe the problem. What do I think the problem is? So that was kind of like step one.
Got it. So identify the problem. So this was like kind of like a quote unquote typical therapy session, which is you and the other provider and it's talk based, right?
Yes.
Was there any assessments or anything or?
No assessments, just kind of like, how would you describe the problem?
Got it. So starting with one singular problem.
Yes. Okay, and cool. Then just kind of like narrowing that down a little bit.
Yeah. So I like that you were saying that what you liked about it, like having that containment or that structure of like kind of going back to the question and going back to the why. And right, there's room for like that tangential thinking. You know, there's always so much that comes out of it. Yeah. What do you think it is about that sort of coming back to the why? Like, what did that do for you?
I think it is that we can go off on tangents. And I know for me, like highly distractible, like, you know, you can kind of get lost from when you came in there and it's fine. You know, I think like it's going to work either way, but there is something nice about feeling like, okay, this also, it makes you feel like this person has a agenda or a plan. You know what I mean? And I think there's something that's nice about just feeling like, okay, we have a direction to go today, you know?
Okay. That's really interesting. That also reminds me, I think we've talked about this before, but like single session therapy. So thinking of like, how do you get the max amount of a therapy session? Thinking that the most common number of therapy sessions somebody goes to is one. And that's like, you know, statistically based. So how do we kind of maximize that time? That's what it reminds me of like, okay, like we could explore and that feels more like psychotherapy, like long-term work, but like in this immediate moment, how do we get back to the issue? So it sounds like you kind of liked having that direction or directive.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I did, you know, and like, probably also because I'm a therapist, it's like, I'm like, oh, like maybe this goes back to my childhood and maybe this goes back to, you know what I mean? Like, so I can just find a lot of connections that are probably valuable and could be mined and find a lot there. But I think it really kept it also in the here and now. And so being able to just say, okay, so what is it that you're actually feeling like in the moment when you're either posting or not posting or, you know, whatever it is. And like, we got to this thing of irrelevance. Like I didn't go there saying I feel irrelevant because I don't post on social media, but Cassandra brought it up at one point. So I think there is something to that. Like, as I said in the beginning, like, my issue was, like, can you really opt out of social media? So why not? It's irrelevance, right? Like, do I somehow, am I not participating in a way that I should be, you know, in the work that I do, in vocalizing the work that I do? Part of me wants to believe there's lots of ways to do that. But, you know, then you just hear so much. I mean, everybody talks about these few platforms, right? And so it can give you this impression that there is nothing outside of those platforms, right? Mm. And so, like, nobody's listening outside of those few platforms.
Mm. It's so interesting that, like, what kind of got you to that point, which feels very, like, deep and, like, core, mm-hmm. is the asking of, like, the opposite of that. Like, why not? Which to me could feel like you're being kind of a, not forceful, but like you're confronting somebody.
Like confrontational.
Confrontational. Yeah, exactly. And so, and I'm just thinking about, like, you know, the way that I've been trained in, like, psychotherapy, it's like, you definitely want to, like, they got to come to their own conclusion. You kind of hold mm-hmm. their hand kind of through the process. But there's kind of something really powerful about, and it doesn't have to be confrontational, but just saying, yeah. like, and what's the opposite of that? Like, why not?
Yes. And I definitely never felt, like, confronted, but it did feel like, it's like this gentle questioning. And I mean, of course, again, I think every therapy includes that, but it felt very intentional. Like, let's just get in the nooks and crannies of every kind of thing that you're saying. And it wasn't overbearing or, like, annoying, you know, just like, why, you know, it was like, she was asking deliberate questions. Mm. Like, and she, I think we got to that because she was like, do you think it's, like, irrelevance? Or, like, I don't remember the exact, you know, way it came there, but I remember that word being really, standing out to me. I mean, and again, like, then without going on a tangent, I could connect that to so many things about just the, you know, family I grew up in and things like that. But that felt important, you know? Mm. So it definitely felt like, okay, we're already getting somewhere. And again, this is just in one session, you know?
So interesting. And by the time you kind of came to that, like, that really, like, important piece that felt really true and, like, resonated with you, mm-hmm. did you have enough time to kind of explore that? And was it okay? Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that was, like, pretty early. I took, like, notes on my session, and that was, like, already, like, my second note. So that was pretty early. We got to that. Yeah. Like, pretty early in the session. Yeah. So then it kind of got into, and I think, again, this is a pretty core issue for me. And she said at one point, so you never really get to enjoy the fruits of your labor.
Whew.
Yeah, right? And then, like, that was, like, a big, I had that kind of same reaction, like, whoa, because I am constantly doing things. You know, I'm very interested in things. I like to try different things. Clearly, I like a lot of variety. But that leaves me really, like, my schedule pretty full, right? You know, like, it's hard for me to sit still. And again, something that I dealt with in my childhood that was actually kind of problematic. So even she said, even if you've had a day where you completed everything on your to-do list, you still haven't done social media. So you never feel like you're done. And I was like, that's totally how I feel, you know, because it feels like, oh, but, like, I haven't done this. And again, like, so maybe if I started doing social media more often, I would come up with something else, but, like, I could be doing this, right? And I think that's perfectionism, achievement. But that thing of, like, the point I am at my life now is a point that, like, Abby 5 or 10 years ago would have been like, oh, well, like, that's where you can really relax. Like, this has all been so I can enjoy my life, right? But, like, somehow that never happens, right? And I hear this with clients a lot too. And so just that kind of, like, idea of never getting to enjoy the fruits of your labor, like, an idea that's been really helpful. Seasons, there's the planting and the growing and then the blooming, and that's really just, like, a short part of it, and then the, like, reseeding and, like, the dying. And so we're not meant to be in bloom all year, you know what I mean? But sometimes we act that way, and I certainly sometimes act that way. And so there is something to, hey, you already planted your seeds, they are in bloom, now you sit and watch them, because it will fade, it will pass, this time will pass, and then there will be another planting season. So that idea was super, super helpful.
Nice. And it sounds like you were able to kind of reconnect it with other themes in your life. That resonates with me too, of just, like, you attain so you can get to a certain point. It's almost like future oriented, right? Like, we're always, like, striving. And when we get there, there's always something else that we haven't done yet or that we need to complete. And so, like, going back to REBT, what you were saying is, like, Cassandra was asking questions about, so how does that affect you in this moment? It was almost like, let's get out of future fear mm-hmm. and anxiety, and, like, let's go back in the present moment, which also just feels very, like, like an Eastern type of a way of thinking about time also and presence.
You know, I think CBT is kind of given for the reasons we kind of talked about at the top of the show of like, it gets this kind of, it's very Western medical model. But I do think there was like a really good, right, staying in the present, you know, because again, I think it deals being a precursor to CBT. We talk about cognitive distortions, and a lot of cognitive distortions are about being in the future or being or catastrophizing. And I think it was really just about helping me, what's the problem? And then really coming back to how do I feel and how do I want to feel?
Oh, okay. That's the emotive part of it.
Yeah.
It goes back to the feeling. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I love that because I think sometimes we could get distracted by the object and the thing and the task.
Yes.
But if you go back to your basic emotions, it makes things just way more clear.
Yes. Yeah, because it's like how I'm feeling is somehow inadequate, right? Or irrelevant. Mm. And then it's like, but what I want to feel is at peace. Like I've done enough, right? Like that is exactly what I want, is like to be in that place of enjoying the fruits of my labor, you know? But it constantly feels like the carrot on the stick thing. And yes, there's lots of structures that, you know, and like there is a external piece to that. But I mean, there's also an internal, like nobody is making me do as much as I'm doing, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when you can pause and reconnect with yourself and be intentional and gain awareness, we can make choices that maybe do allow us to be in that space more now than always saying when I get there, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm curious. I mean, it sounds like there was a lot of really important like aha moments for you in this, just this one session. I'm curious how it reverberated after the session. I'm also just really curious about social media. Like how's your relationship to social media been affected?
That's such a good question. Yeah. What we shifted it to is I'm curious what will happen if I post this instead of I have to post this. It's just like, because obviously, one of my things is curiosity and experimentation. It's like, I'm just going to shift it to, if I feel like it, like, I'm curious what will happen if I post this.
Is that like a suggestion she gave or something that you both kind of
came up
with? I think
we both kind of came up with it. Yeah.
And is that part of like the therapy? Is that like coming up with sort of a...
Yeah, because you do come up with like an action step or like a way. Yeah, like a takeaway.
Oh, cool.
That is part of it. Yeah.
I love it. It's such a different type of therapy because I think a lot of us are used to like the couch method. You're mm-hmm. sitting, you're on the tangent and you're kind of going real, really deep and all over the place. It's so tangible, like going into like an action plan. That's more of the cognitive part of me, is just feeling like, yeah, that's like, it feels like something is going to get done.
Yes. So the way it showed up in my social media, I definitely did. I have been engaging more with it and just kind of like on Canva, you know, just making stuff, but not needing to post it. So I used to, I think, feel a lot of pressure to like have it done at the time. And I've just been starting a bunch of them and just getting fine with like deleting them. If I'm like, yeah, that didn't really go anywhere. I'm sick of this template, you know? Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't get posted, it doesn't get posted. And I posted once, which actually is a lot for me. But, and it's because I'm also like, I have a personal account, I have a professional account, and I have my intuitive eating group account. So, you know, I do have three accounts. So speak of spreading myself thin, but I did post in my intuitive eating Instagram. And so for me, that was good. You know what I mean? Like I mean, it's only been a week. So this is exactly a week from that session. So where I was really like, I wasn't even engaging with any of that.
Oh, wow.
So I'm just trying to have fun with it, play around with different templates, have fun, delete it if I don't like it and move on with my life. And that has allowed me to like engage with it more. It's just like a fun thing and just like, hey, I had an idea. Let me just put it down and see if there's a template that works with it.
That's,
you know,
so
especially
cool.
If I'm like waiting for like something to cook or something, you know what I mean? Just like playing around with that.
Exactly. And that, it just like relieves so much pressure when you think about it as a fun activity instead of a chore or something I have to do that kind of builds this like, it turns into a mountain basically. And I'm just really impressed by how quickly like the effects were. And it sounds like there was a mindset shift that was a big part of that.
Yeah. And the other thing was the fruits of the labor thing. I mean, that, you know, statement has stuck with me. And just thinking about like really just enjoying my evening, you know, like I am done for the day. Like I don't need to keep doing things, you know. I maybe will have an episode on this. I'm also doing some organizing and I'm doing some ADD specific organizing because I have mild ADD. My partner has
more pronounced ADD. So I actually signed up for a organizational course that specifically addresses ADD. And that's been really helpful. And the only reason I brought it up, I started it this week, and I think it probably would be fun to do a episode around it, but it's kind of like part of it is just, you're just going to do it during these times. You're just going to organize during these times. And then once that time's over, you just leave it, just leave the piles, just stop. And that's the thing. And like, especially one of the things I struggle with ADD is I can drag something out for hours and hours and I can get lost in like, oh, I found my old yearbook and now I'm looking at my yearbook. And then I should like, oh, let me make a collage and let me, you know, and then I've like taken out 50 things when I was trying to clean up. And, you know, I really, that idea, it's really helped me this week because I was getting overwhelmed with organizing that I'm doing these 2-hour blitzes, they're called.
Yes.
And that's it. So at the end of the day, I was also feeling like I should be organizing, I should be cleaning, I should be tidying. And it's like, nope, I already did my blitz. Like, that's it.
Whatever okay, I got blitz. Done. Cool. I love that.
Yeah.
Something about putting a timer on and just like going at a task that you've procrastinated and mm-hmm. just seeing the like seconds kind of go down for whatever reason, like it puts me in the zone as well.
Totally. That leaves me time to really like, you know, we just got the puppy and we, you know, to spend with my partner and like, that's why I'm doing all this. So I could, you know, I shouldn't be doing that in the future. It's like when I'm done for the day, I need to enjoy why I did all that work, which is pretty much that, you know, to hang out in the space that I like with the people I like, you know, and animals I like.
Exactly. I love that. Wow. Okay, cool. So any takeaways, what would you say pros and cons, good things for people to know who are considering? Yeah.
You know, I think there's so many benefits to talk therapy, but maybe if you have a specific issue that you really want to tackle, it might be good to maybe do something like REBT, or if you've done therapy in the past, you know, like I want to go back, but I don't want to just talk through everything again. Maybe this is the approach you need now. I think we need different therapy approaches at different points in our life. Again, one of the reasons we're doing this. And so, yeah, I think it would be really good for anybody. So I think sometimes in your life, you want that place where you just want to like, oh, like, let me tell you, and just kind of have that speak. You almost don't even want your therapist to intervene at all. Like, that's probably not the time you want REBT because it is going to be a little bit more guided and specific and directive. So I think it's really good for that time in your life. You want to really get to the bottom of a problem and have somebody really guide you and direct you. So I think it could pretty much be good for anybody, but it's kind of where you're at in your life. And of course, something more specific, like I'm thinking of more significant diagnoses, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's more to resolve a particular problem or a particular mind state, like maybe something you're feeling anxious or depressed about, you know?
Right. If you have like a block or something that like just keeps kind of coming up. Cool. Well, that was really exciting. Any other takeaways, any last thoughts before we sign off?
I don't think there's that many REBT therapists out there. And I'm really excited to talk to Cassandra on our next episode. So if you're like, I've heard of CBT, but this is interesting, REBT. It might be something you're like, that sounds really cool and I want to try it. And it's a little different than the CBT. So that's another thing that's really cool about it.
Very cool. Yeah, for sure. So check out our next episode where we get to interview Cassandra Moore.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. All right. See ya.
Bye. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks again for joining us.
Check out our show notes to learn more about this episode and to find all the ways to follow us.
And remember, if you're curious, try it.